Good morning, everyone. Shabbat shalom. Good to have you this morning. What an amazing God we serve. Isn't he incredible? So wonderful. So blessed to be here today. I appreciate you for being here today. And we are given opportunity to join in with him, especially in this time, to be a light and be a witness for him. In order to do that, we have to understand what the record tells us. And so we've been looking at length for some time, the 41st chapter of Genesis. So if you have your Bibles, go there. We're going to continue on the subject of Yosef and what God is doing in his life. A lot of stuff happening in his life. And there's some things that you come across that slows you down. You're arrested basically by the set apart spirit to take a look at this and familiarize yourself with the text. Because there's nothing going to help us in the world except for the record. I mean, we have the record. And so sometimes we're looking for something else and we're looking to reference something else, but we have to reference the record. And so God wrote a book about himself. We'll at least familiarize ourselves with the record that he wrote about himself. Amen. This is important. It's important to our life. And so looking at Yosef's life, we see that God strategically brought him through a series of different events over 13 years. And those events weren't pretty. As far as Yosef goes, in the natural, it looked like everything was against him. The whole world was against him. And many times it looked like God was even against him. Nothing he could do made him find himself in a position that he would have relief. Now, he had moments. And so sometimes in life you have moments and you live off your moment. You can only live off of a moment for so long. For so long you can live on a moment, but you have to have consistent interaction through relationship with the Most High by a set-apart spirit to give you the power to be an overcomer. Because that's not a mistake. We have to overcome in this world that we're living in. We have to be overcomers. We have to endure things. And Yosef was definitely learning these aspects. And so taking on this 41st chapter, it's been quite the task. Because we look at his life and it's the model. Everybody say model. It's the model for what? It's the model for what Yeshua would ultimately do for the entire world. And so we're looking at the beginning of this model, what Yeshua would come along and do for all the world. And so I gave some examples on Wednesday night Bible study on some of the examples how Yosef foreshadows Yeshua. And one of the things I gave was both of them had a message from the Father. Both of them had a message from Elohim. Yosef gave the message of Elohim. Nobody else could give it. So he gives the message and he says, there'll be 7 years of plenty. And then there'll be 7 years of famine. He gave the message. And because he gave the message, it moved the king, this Semitic king. It moved him so much. He gave Yosef the highest position that could be given to any person in that kingdom. He gave him a position right next to him. And it's very foreshadowing because we see that Messiah comes and he gives the same message. He gives the message of hope. He gives the message of salvation. Though your sins be as scarlet, you shall be made white as snow. You can be forgiven of your sins. And he's going to be the Savior of the world. He gives the message. And we only have so much time to hear the message and do something about it. Because there's going to come a time, the Bible declares, through the prophet, there'll be a famine of the word. Nobody's interested in the word. Nobody's in, because it takes time to interact with the record, to familiarize yourself with the text. It takes time. It takes all your time. Just like anything in life, the more you put your mind to it, you start realizing it's taking all my time. And before you know it, you wonder where the time goes. And so when you study the text, It definitely consumes your time. And the song just said, you know, it starts just a minute, and before you know it, it turns into an hour. And you're okay with that because you understand that what just happened is past me. It's past my understanding. God has taken me to a different level. He wants me to see something that I've been wanting to see, but I hadn't given myself over to it in order for it to manifest itself or come to fruition. So it's never happened. But He wants it to happen in our life. He wants it to happen for everyone. Just like the plan of salvation. Some of you haven't lived in what it means to be born again because you haven't taken it serious enough. You have to understand that we have somebody who came and gave the message. The message wasn't from themselves. Yeshua said, the things that I speak are not my words. These are the words of the Father. He brought the message of the Father. What did Yosef say? It's not in me. It's not in me. You talk about a foreshadow. It's not in me. He said, what I'm telling you is what Elohim said. And so Pharaoh was so moved, he says, can you find another one of all this entourage that's here, all the wise men, all the smart men were all in one room. He said, can we find anybody of all of you here who's got Elohim in him, the spirit of Elohim in him? We can't find nobody who has more wisdom, more understanding. So the message has been brought. The message has been brought to the world. What else do you think God needs to do in order to get you excited about the fact that you can be born again? He has to do nothing because the message has already been brought. We already had a Savior who showed up as a suffering servant, and He gave His life for the world. He laid His life down so we can have hope. That's already happened. And then He was put on a cross. He was then dead and buried, and 3 days later, God raised Him from the dead. And now He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Ephesians puts it this way, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, might, and dominion, every name that's named. There's no name that's ever going to be given that can match or come close to the name of Yeshua. How many thank God for that? And so we have the message. But what are we doing about the message? Are we letting life circumstance, life's troubles, or life's past drag us down? Because these are the difficulties that Yosef was facing. How many know Yosef had a past? He had a past. There were some struggles that he was up against. He had a past. But God wanted to bring this manifestation in his life so he could see it and come to some realizations about what God was doing in his life. And I'm sure he wants to do that for all of us today. How many want to let him do that? Well, we got to take on this remainder part of chapter 41. And so I'll take up a reading. I'll back up just as a part of a review. We'll back up and maybe start with, I want to go to one. That's what I want to do. But we ain't not going to get out of here today. We'll be in here during Midrash, still trying to take on this. So I better behave myself. And just, let me see. Let's take up 41. Now this is some back review. Remember, we've been taking, so we're 41-41. Sounds good to me, so let's look at it. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, see, I have set you over all the land of Mitzrayim. How much did he set him over? All. Now we see the hand of Yehovah starting to move in Yosef's life. It's moving. Something's happening in his life. Now, you talk about a change or a shift in what was happening. It seemed like every time he turned around, he was either being accused of something, thrown in a pit, sold as a slave, brought before Potiphar, the assassin, and the assassin's wife lied that Yosef tried to make a move on her, which he did not, and he was thrown into prison because of it. And after he got in prison, he interpreted the butler and the baker's dreams, and then what happens, they forget about him for 2 years. Now we come to 13 years. So he was 17 when he was thrown in the pit. Now he's 30. And what did God do? He called him up in a moment. He said, it's time. He put him before the most powerful man in the world and says, what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to make you shine now. I'm going to get you ready. I'm going to show you what I'm going to do for you. You can't do for God by being faithful to him and being making sure that you are consistently doing these things and God not show up and show out on your behalf. That's a promise he's given us. Now, it doesn't mean you won't go through difficulty during those times. You still got to face you. Remember, there's nobody more difficult than you. You're the most difficult person to deal with. And you wonder why pastors get old fast. But we're going to deal with you today. Somebody said, today's my day. Because after today, if you go home with it, you want it. Because he's about to set you free. Amen. How many thank God for being set free? Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We hear this, we quote it, but we never live up to it. Why is that? We're going to give you some detailed background how to actually live in that verse. Actually live it out in your life. To experience when you're singing songs. You know, when you're singing, you're singing and you're joining in and you're a participant, but you're never really set free to really sing that. I mean, you ain't sang that song. You singing, but you ain't sang it. So we're gonna grab hold to these principles today. Amen. Today's your day. Now I believe that for you. I hope you believe it for yourself. Because it's important that we understand these principles. They are valuable to our life. We can't do without them. We have to have them. And so let me see if I can finish reading here, because I'm gonna make this a long review if I don't behave myself. And Pharaoh took off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he dressed him in a garment of fine linen and put gold chains about his neck. What is God doing? He's bedecking Joseph. He's getting him right. He's making him look good. I mean, you know, God wants you to look good. You know what makes us not look good? The stuff we bring with us. He said, lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us. You ever wonder what the weight is? What's the weight? I could deal with the sin, but what's the weight? See, you got your sins forgiven, but you're still carrying weight around. And you carry weight around for a long enough time, you're going to get fatigued. It fatigues your muscles. You know, you grab dumbbells and you're in the gym and you're doing these things. Don't take long, you start to feel it. And you got to go back. And you might tell yourself, I'm going to do this 10 times. You get on number 8 and you say, okay, 8's enough. I'm good. Now, what makes you say that? You got fatigued. The muscles started cramping. You started realizing, I'm 58. I don't need to do this. So we got to lay the weight aside. So that's what some of the things we're going to look at today. I'm trying to get there, but I got to read these verses. And he said to him, ride in second chariot, which he had, and they cried out before him, bow the knee, and he set him over all the land of Mitzrayim. Let me see that. All the land of Mitzrayim. Yosef is set before. He's over all the land of Mitzrayim. There's nothing that he's not over. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, I am Pharaoh, and without a word from you, let no man lift his hand or foot in all the land of Mitzrayim. You talk about giving him authority. I want to ask you something. How much authority was given to Yeshua? All authority. Again, Yosef foreshadows Yeshua. It's a foreshadowing. We see so many types and we see so many likenesses of the life of Yosef. Because why is that? Because it's the model. You remember we had Abraham, we had Isaac, we had Jacob, we had two boys. One of those boys really had a heart to grab hold of something, but he was not the firstborn. And so we had that whole exchange, how one leaned toward the flesh, one was leaning to the spirit. Although he wasn't sharpening his leaning, he still had some issues, but it doesn't matter. Now, how many of you know we all come with our issues? If God can't use you with your issues, then none of us can be used at all. But during the time he's using us, he's going to work on those issues to make sure we're not trying to take our issues all away. He's going to cause some of these things to be stripped off of you because you're getting closer to him. And the more closer, no flesh can glory in his presence. And so sometimes there's some things that we hold on to. We think that this is who I am. It becomes a crutch in our life. He's going to remove that. And he's going to open you up. He'll open you up to more of his spirit. More of of an understanding with him. More wisdom. More understanding. How many of you ever prayed for these things? Well, you can pray for those things, but when he starts to actually perform those things in your life, more than likely he's going to come and say, hello, let's get that. You've been holding on this for a long time. We're getting rid of this. Now you're ready for the outpouring. Now you're ready for that indwelling that when it comes without measure. That's what Yeshua received at his baptism. He received a set apart spirit with no measure. And so you and I were on our way to an amazing relationship with him as we allow him to come in and fix us and get us right. It don't mean you're not saved. See, born again, that's something that's done for you. But as we're saved, we find out we still got some hiccups. Anybody ever find that out? I still have these issues with flesh. How do I deal with this? Well, let me tell you, he'll help you deal with it if you'll be sensitive to the same thing Yosef had. Now, the thing that was different about Yosef and Yeshua was Yeshua, although he was tempted, he never gave in to the temptation. And so nothing had to be removed from him because he never allowed it to come in. He who knew no sin, he became sin for us. He took on sin on purpose. To pay something that we owed. Now, there's a song we used to sing. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. And I want you to keep that in mind. Because that's going to be important for as we continue to read the text that we're going to read today. Because it's valuable to our life that we understand these principles. So we see that Pharaoh is doing all that he can to make sure that Yosef is understanding that his position is of value. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, I am found without a word from you. Let no man lift his hand or his foot in all the land of Mitzrayim. And Pharaoh called Yosef's name Zephnath-Paneah. Zephnath-Paneah. And he gave him as wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Yosef went over all the land of Mitzrayim. Now, I'm not going to have time to review all the stuff that we talked about last Shabbat, but you can go back and reference it. It's all online. And now Yosef was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, sovereign of Mitzrayim, and Yosef went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Mitzrayim. How powerful was that last Shabbat? Right. Yosef went out from the presence. He went out from the presence. He had to do something about, because listen, when God has an assignment for your life, you have to move out into that assignment, whatever it is. And some of you are seeking an answer to the assignment that God has for your life. That's why you're here today. And God knows everything about you. He cares about everything you care about. And your assignment, if it's authorized by him, don't fear it. You have everything you need to perform it to its fullest. You'll lack nothing in it. But you're not going to go anywhere until you get out from the presence of Pharaoh. You have to step out in faith. Faith is an action word. It takes action. You can talk about faith all day long and have zero of it unless you step out in it. And so you got to get tired of talking about it, and you got to do something about it. And so when you step into the assignment of God, you stepping in, now you're putting action. Now faith can activate and start working in your life, and you can now grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Amen? These are important principles. Now, that was last Shabbat, so let me get reading through this. There's no way I can cover all the stuff I talked about last week. But he went off in the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Mitzrayim. And in the seventh year, and in the 7 years of plenty, the ground brought forth generously. There's nothing better than when you're in the 7 years of plenty, when you're on the up. Nobody likes the downswing, but the up. I mean, when you're in the up, everybody's happy. Right. When the market's up, everybody's smiling. When it's down, we're not so happy. On payday, we're all happy, but then Monday comes. We got to work another work week. It changes. See, we like the ups. The downs we don't like. But in order to get the up, sometimes you got to go through the down. Everybody likes Shabbat, but you had 6 days to work before you got here. So the Bible clearly is teaching us there's going to be ups and downs. And when you have a solid relationship, it doesn't change your character no matter what day you're on. It don't matter if you're in the up or down. Now we put it this way. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It didn't matter if he was on the down. It didn't matter because he's with you. When he's with you, he said, if I be for you, who can be against you? That has to do some lifting up in our spirit to realize it don't matter where my position is. And this is what Yosef had to learn. When you're in the pit, I'm with you. When you get pulled out of the pit and you're sold as a slave and now you're in a caravan of slavery headed to Mitzrayim, I'm with you. I got you. You get to Potiphar and you're sold as a slave. Now you're really, it's crushing your who you are. You know, I'm the son of Yaakov. But now you're a slave in Mitzrayim. It's crushing all your ambitions, all your dreams. I've had two dreams. It's crushing them. But what does God say? I'm with you. So we start to see little things in Yosef's life that shows us that God is with him, because everywhere he went, there was some blessing attached to it. They were clinging to Yosef before Yosef was anybody. He was a nobody. They were clinging to him. Potiphar liked him, put him over his whole house. Pharaoh liked him so much, put him over his whole kingdom. Everybody clinging to him when he's a nobody, but then God said, okay, it's time to make you somebody. It's time. When you step out in faith into your assignment, then God can start doing what he's been wanting to do for a long time. Don't hold the hand of God back because you're fearful. Step out in faith and trust God. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you shall ever ask or think, according to what's working on the inside of us. Let it work. Let it do its job. Amen. And so we see this wonderful unfolding of this happening. So the ground brought forth generously, and he gathered all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Mitzrayim and laid up the food in the cities. Now I thought that's where I was going with this, because naturally it's the next few verses. And so I spent a lot of time looking in that, and God said, nah, they didn't figure that out. So I moved on from it. He laid up in every city food of the fields which surrounded them. Now I gave some hints on that. I told you that God is not a socialist, but he's a capitalist. And if you want to find that out, look at the previous verse I just read and you'll find that out. Yosef, might as well touch on it while I'm here again, so you don't forget. Yosef went to the cities throughout all of Mitzrayim. Now, there's no bigger metroplex than Mitzrayim in this particular time. It's the number one. Everybody goes to Mitzrayim, to Egypt. Everybody. Yet he's in many cities, and Yosef went to every city, and he looked at their fields. And they go to this city, this field, this city might have 20 fields that can produce a harvest. And he tell them, listen, I'm in charge of all this now. And they said, listen, what we're going to do. you plant these 20 fields, build silos, and then I'm gonna increase your taxes. Well, you can get mad at Yosef if you want, but Pharaoh gave him all authority. You're not going to have to go to Congress for this. It don't matter if the Senate votes yes or no. God said. How many okay with when God said? See, when God told me what he told me, that was good enough for me. Because he said, why would I have to ask anybody else? I don't go seek the advice of man. I have God said, and that should be good enough. We trust him. And so, listen, he said, these cities, these fields, you plant the grain, and then we're going to take the grain from these fields and put in your silos, 20%. He go to the next city, they have five fields. Five fields, build silos to handle these five, and we're going to store up grain. We're going to make sure we tax this grain so we have grain because 7 years of famine's coming. Right. Nobody's fighting yourself. There's nobody's picketing and marching and having rallies against yourself. He's the man. How did he get to be there? Jehovah made certain to bedeck him and put him in that position. All the stuff he learned in 13 years, we're finding out how God's blessings coming upon him now. Every city, some cities had 30 fields. He would put the 30 fields, those cities. Now, let me tell you, if you had five, your people, that's going to be distributed to the people of five cities. It must have been a smaller city. Didn't need it as much. He's not talking about just handing out socially to everybody who don't do the work. Every city had to be involved. Every capitalism. You have to be involved. There's no handout here. We got to get that out of our mentality that somehow somebody owes me something. We've been gifted the greatest gift can ever be given to man. Called the grace of God, for by grace you're saved. It's not of works. Thank God for his grace. You want to talk about God extending himself? You did nothing for it, but he gave it anyway. Now that we've been given that, he wants to make sure that we're responsible to appreciate the greatest gift given to the world is when Yosef brought the message that we're going to have 7 years of plenty and we're going to save the grain. Because 7 years of famine's coming, it's just like Yeshua. He gives the word. He says, listen, if you believe in me, you can be changed. Your life can be changed. You can be saved. He gives that message, and those who don't adhere to that, they're going to be difficult times coming. In those difficult times, they have no answers. And so we want to make sure that we're listening carefully to what the message is being said. And so we see that all this food in the surrounding areas, every city was responsible for their own city and their own fields and their own 20%. And you can go and study that out. It's beautiful to look at it. Again, not what we're going to really look at today. Thus yourself gathered very much grain as the sand of the sea until he ceased counting, for it was without number. So whatever he did, it worked. There was more than enough. More than enough. It was mind-blowing, the bumper crops they were having during the 7 years. Yet Yosef is the one who interpreted because Elohim gave him the message. Give this message to Pharaoh. And so bumper crops. And so we have to make sure that when it's time for bumper crops, we do something about it. And I don't know if you noticed, but we have just stepped in to a time where on the 20th of January, there'll be a new administration takeover. And you're not fighting for the fact that whether you could go to church or whether you could speak about God. Your freedom of speech is going to be something that could stay intact. Do something about it. Take advantage of the time, because I don't think we got 7 years. Matter of fact, two Wednesdays ago, I brought it up at the table. We only have a short period of time to do something about it. Take it serious. You come to Shabbat, hear the message. Don't just hear it. Do something about it. The Bible says in James, don't be a hearer of the word only, but a doer of the word. What does it mean to be a doer of the word? Well, you do what it says. That's simple. That's the Greek on that, by the way. Do what it says. Make these changes in your life. If you say, well, the way I think about it don't match that. Change the way you do. Or let him change it for you. We have to start doing what it says. Verse 50. And to Joseph were born two sons. Everybody say two sons. This is important. Because this is what we're going to talk about today. Now I've been doing review the whole time, trying to get us there. To yourself was born two sons before the years of the scarcity of food. That's important. Before the years of scarcity of food. He had two sons born. So during the 7 years, his wife becomes pregnant and she has two sons. Whom Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On, bore to him. And Yosef called the name of the firstborn. Everybody say firstborn. This is important. Every time we see firstborn, because we've been studying Genesis, we know that that is a unique thing. With studying Genesis from chapter 1 going through, we start to see that God makes a thing about firstborn. If he makes a thing about it, then we ought to make a thing about it. So if it's a thing, when you see firstborn son, you have to stop, pause, and say, what's the thing about this firstborn son? That should always happen in your study of Scripture, because God makes it a thing, it ought to be important to us. We take some time to look at it. And so what we see is Elohim makes a thing about this firstborn, and he says, and Yosef called the name of the firstborn Menasheh. Menasheh. For Elohim has made me forget all my toils and all my father's house. That's the text for today, that verse right there. And so let's take a look at it, because this is important and valuable. And so what is, so this Menasheh, if you look it up, it actually means causes me to forget. Causes me to forget. And so this firstborn son, Yosef, he's so involved. Do you understand? He's so involved. He's taking on this government job. He's second to the most powerful man in the world. He's a lot of responsibility. But in the process, his wife becomes pregnant. She has this firstborn son, Menasheh. And now he names this son, causes me to forget. The question is, forget what? Because remember, he gives him this Hebrew name. Now he's surrounded by Mitzrayim. Completely surrounded. It's everything. His wife's from Mitzrayim. His children are born as Mitzrites. That was the custom. It don't matter who the wife married. The children were always going to take on the attachment of the mother, not the father. So in history books, they would be considered Mitzrites, Menasheh and Ephraim. And so, amidst all of that surrounding, Yosef had the ability to make sure he gave his sons Hebrew names. And in his Hebrew name, it means causes me to forget. Very important. Valuable to our life. So we look up the word forget, it's H5382, and it's in its ancient Hebrew, it's a noon and a sheen. A noon and a sheen. Now, associated words with this noon and sheen seems a bit odd, but we're going to try to take the oddness out of it today. First thing it means, is everybody listening, by the way? Listen, this is no, you got to pay attention from here on. Again, in the ancient, for this word forget, because he gives the definition right there in the same verse. It made me forget all his toils. And he'd been through some toils. And obviously, It was something that was still in the back of his mind, still a weight in his life. Although he's doing all these wonderful things, he has this thing that's still there. And it's only going to drag yourself down if he don't deal with it. So how does he start to deal with it? When he has this firstborn son, Manasseh, what he does? He names him, causes me to forget. So the word forget, again, what we see is nasha. Nasha in the Hebrew. And in the ancient pictograph, we have the nun and the sheen. And attached to that word is the term loan. Like if somebody loans you money. If you get money loaned to you, you're now in what? Debt. So that's the next word. So we have loan, debt, and then the last word is deception. Why deception? You know, you ask, why is this the word deception attached to these, this nasha? We're going to find that out. Listen, when you don't realize that when God comes in and does something, he does it and brings it to finality, it's complete. He fixes it once and for all for you. If you don't realize that, the enemy will play with your mind and make you think you still got this. And so you have to forget that thing and move on. If not, you're living in a deception. Your debt has been paid and you still think you owe somebody. You see how the enemy works? Now, how is God getting this message to us? By yourself naming his son. Just named his son. Obviously, all the power, all the bedecking, all the thrills of all this authority he has, he still hasn't been able to close off this chapter in his life until he has this firstborn son. And he's about to close it off. And so you can been in service, you've been in church all your life, and you still hadn't got over something happened 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago. You talk about, somebody say, you say, oh yeah, I'm saved. And you get in the conversation with them, they still hurt from yesteryears. Still going through difficulty when somebody hurt me, somebody said something about me. And so, thank God you're here today. Because he's about to fix that for you today. Because we're going to forget the stuff that's behind us. How many want to forget what's behind you? And so we're going to look at this together and learn some things. In the pictograph, the nun is a picture of a seed representing continuance. So the nun always represents the seed of continuance. It's to continue life on. It's the seed, the nun. It's shaped like the sperm, passing on the seed. It's life continues. In the sheen, it's a picture of teeth that is representing pressure. When you put pressure on your food, you take a what? A bite. You're putting pressure on the food. Your teeth causes pressure, which causes you to remove the item you're biting. So the sheen represents the teeth, or the two front teeth. Combining these means continual pressing or continual pressure. Now we're dealing with nasha here. In the Hebrew, continual pressing or continual pressure. An imposition such as a debt or deception which causes oppression. Because that's what happens when you don't deal with what's in the past. It turns into oppression. Now there's something that's oppressing you, that's holding you back. When you have an assignment, you can't be held back. When you have an assignment that God has given you and you got something holding you back, sometime it could be mom and dad holding you back. Sometime it's a relationship that's holding you back. Sometime it's the wife or the husband holding you back, whatever it is. Sometimes it's a hurt that happened 20 years ago you're still hurt by. You're being held back. Obviously yourself is having this issue, or he wouldn't have named his son Manasseh. He would have never named him that. Naming your children in Hebrew was a very important thing. And to use the term Nashah, to name his son, was so valuable because God was trying to let him know, I'm canceling your debt, Yosef. The hurt from the pit is over. The hurt from your robe that was taken from you and brought to your father is over. The fact that you was a slave, it's over. The fact that you were sold as into Potiphar's house and lied on by his wife is over. The fact that the butler and the baker forgot you in prison for 2 years, it's over. It's your time now to work out this assignment. Does everybody understand the value of God's word? By one simple naming of a son, we see that Menashe is finally coming to fruition. And Yosef says, he causes me to forget. Listen, because you know why he had to cause him to forget? He wasn't forgetting. He was still having that hold on to him. And so think about if that wouldn't have been dealt with. What would have happened when he seen his brothers for the first time? It would have been terrible. So God's dealing with every issue. Now, we're not talking about Yosef being a non-believer here and he's dealing with this. We're talking about this is a message to believers. You've been a believer for a long time. You love God. We're not putting that into question. Yet we go to church and we're trying to hang on and we're trying to figure out, why is it so hard for me? Because you haven't forgotten what you got to lay to rest. It's over with. That's in your past. You have to let go of that. And it's something that you consciously have to do. You have to understand these are principles that he's laying out. It's like you make a loan and you find, because it's payable every 30 days, right? So every month. So you pay your first note. And it's just a relief. You know, I don't have to worry about that loan till the next 30 days. And so you're going good. And day 29 comes and all of a sudden your heart starts beating. And you start counting your change. Make sure you got the loan. You know why? Because it's holding on to you. It's a debt. And it can cause people to have oppression. Especially when you're tight in finances and you owe somebody something. It can cause some stress in your life. But remember the song the old timers used to sing? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Thank God he came and caused us to forget the debt. We have a debt that we couldn't pay. We were indebted to disobedience to his Torah, to his record. And there was no way out. Death was the payment. And he paid it for me. He gave his life for me. And I thank God for that. And so Yosef, he's trying to tell yourself, listen, remember, he foreshadows everything of Yeshua. And here we see him about this debt being paid for Yosef. Because he caused him to forget. And so we have to embrace these principles of the Word of God when we're studying through. We have to embrace because they teach us valuable lessons that you normal reading, you just move on past his name. We're not going to look at that. What is that going to teach us? It'll teach us valuable lessons on things that people still struggle with. Serving God 20, 30 years and still have that thing hanging on. Going to church like this. What's the matter? Why are you walking like that? Got that weight. Still got that weight. Some of you hadn't gotten over Katrina yet. You're still hurt by that. How long are we going to be hurt by it? You hadn't got over the last time somebody said something on Facebook about you. You hadn't got over that. You're still holding on to that. Last time pastor made you feel, and might have said something and hurt your feelings, you hadn't got over that yet. He's trying to cause us to forget today. Because we can talk about the assignment last week and we can get all pumped up about it, but you're never going to actually be able to perform the assignment God's given you as long as you're weighted down with these things. You have to let them go. You have to let them go. And so we look at this Nashah, and one of the things, there's several things I wrote down here. I'm going to go right through them. He hadn't forgotten. He hadn't forgotten he had a family. He knew he had a family. He hadn't forgotten about his family. He hadn't forgotten where he came from. He knew where he came from, which is why he gave his son Hebrew names. That's why he gave his son the name Menashe, because he hadn't forgotten his family and he hadn't forgotten where he come from. Instead, he forgot two things: his hardship and his suffering. This is what Yosef had to forget: his hardship and his suffering. And how many know every one of us had these two things in our life? Every one of us. We've had these two things in our life. We had hardship and we had suffering. And sometimes they come all on the same day. You hardly can separate them. Hardship and suffering. Has anybody here not experienced that in your life? Yosef had to forget that. You say, you know, you just, you know, when somebody hurts me, you can forgive them, but you can't forget. Okay. Where's the verse on that? That you don't forget. Are you going to remember your hurt all the time? Well, I got to remember my hurt so I can, you know, I can, what, rehash it over and over and over again to the point you cause oppression in your life? Or are you going to forget it, move on, because your assignment's about bigger than the problem you just had? And so many people serving God for years, going to Shabbat service, going, doing all the feasts, doing good, doing everything they can do, but they still have this, they can't figure out what is it? What is it that I'm not able to be propelled into the next part of my life? You're carrying that weight. You have to look back. You have to forget the things that are behind you. Press on to the goal for the prize of the high calling. You have to. If you don't do that, you're in trouble. And so Shaul points that out for us in Philippians 3:13. He points it out for our information so we understand it. And I'll read that in just a little bit. but he had to forget his hardship and his suffering. His father's house, meaning that he had to go off what his brothers did to him. Forgiveness can be very difficult. It can be very difficult. Especially when somebody's hurt you, somebody you love and cared about hurts you. Forgiveness can be very difficult. But Yosef was so committed, he encoded in his son's name that he caused me to forget. That's what Yosef did. He encoded it in his son's name, what Jehovah was doing in his life behind the scenes. And so sometimes, you know, we go to church, we're trying to get in the service, we're trying to sing the song, we're trying to participate, we got a home church, we don't really feel like we fit in. You're having all these different things going on, and you're wondering what it is. The reason it is because you hadn't forgotten something sometime in your past that's caused the difficulty that you now have in your present. And it's going to stop you from what's in your future. God wants us to be free from this. That's why when he sent his son, he freed us indeed. Whom the son has set free is free indeed. That's why Yosef is showing us this freedom encoded in his son's name. Contrary to our culture definition, the Bible uses forget and forgive interchangeably. But our biblical culture says, well, you can forgive, but you know, it's okay if you don't forget. Where? When I'm reading clear text that Shaul writes in Philippians, says, forget what's behind you. Forget. Press on toward what's in front of you, to your future. Don't let it be a weight on you. He wants to liberate us to accomplish the task that he assigned for our life. Some of you sitting here, the potential of leadership is so strong, it's like a smell of aroma around you. Yet, we're fearful because of yesteryears when we had failures. We got to forget that. We got to let go of that. That debt is paid. Yet we're living under oppression. How is that possible? It's like when you got the debt, right? You're paying it every month and you're going through it. Or maybe somebody loaned you some money. A friend loaned you money. Loan you, you know, for maybe $300-$400 they loan you and say, look, I'll pay you back next week. Well, on the sixth day of next week, you meet them in a store. You see them. You go, oh, I don't have the money. So you go down the other aisle. Why? Because you have a debt. And now it's causing oppression on you. Now your friend is somehow not your friend as much as he was when he loaned you the money. Now he's the one who's collector. He's the collector. And we take that same template into our lives, and we're living free. We're living free. We're singing songs. We're giving praise to God. I mean, the drum is beating. Sometimes if the drum ever stops, our song is over. We got to beat as long as there's something driving the beat. But when the music fades and all is stripped away, do you still shout hallelujah? That's the key. The key is understanding it doesn't take anything else. It doesn't take outside influence to drive me to love him with all my heart, to worship him, to honor him. We have to be, and so again, causes to forget is pushing us to understand some values here. He's causing me to forget. And so that's what we see. So the Bible uses forget and forgiveness interchange. He was able to do this because he knew it was all part of Elohim's plan. That's why he was able to do it. The reason he named him Menasheh, because he was able to do that because he knew it was all part of Elohim's plan. And he was settled on that. He's not trying to rehash the broken feeling. Is broke. How many of you know yourself's heart was broken? When your brothers do what they did him, it breaks your heart. You say, I'm out of a broken heart today. I know that. That's why I'm preaching this. Your heart's been broken, but you got a cause to forget that. You have to understand that. Well, you don't know how hard it is. Trust me, I only know what the Word of God says. And I gotta be free of my own weights. Remember, your difficulty is relative to your situation. Never undermine somebody else's difficulty because you think yours is more difficult. It's relative to you. When you're having difficulty, it's difficult for you at that particular time. And whatever everybody else is, but your difficulty, he didn't just come to save your life. He came to get rid of all your difficulties, all your weights. Because those are the things that cause us to go back. We always fall back. We always wind up going back. Because we didn't get rid of those things. Right when you step in, I mean, can you imagine yourself stepping into his position? He's bedecked. He's got all the gold on. He's got everything on. Now he's looking like second in command of Mitzrayim, riding second chariot. And all of a sudden, he allows his past to start messing with him. He don't visit all the towns and cities. He don't tell them that we're going to, he starts making bad judgments and bad calls. And before you know it, they're not prepared for the 7 years of famine. So God knows when we got to get rid of stuff. And so, yeah, you know, last week was all about understanding our assignment, but this is, you don't understand your assignment. Now we got to get, now we're going to pick the sword. Now we're going to dig in the wound a little bit. Well, I'm hurt. Well, I know you're hurt. That's why I'm picking on it. You don't think God knows you're hurt? He knows, but you can't do what God wants you to do as long as that's in front of you. You got to forget and get things behind you. You move on in God. You say, but I have nothing. If you have God, you have everything. And let him build a house. We labor in vain if we try to build it. Let him do it. Let him bring everything back the way he wants to in his time, his way. Or do we have enough faith that he's able to do that? Do we trust him enough that he's able to do that? We should. And so what we see happening here in the life of Yosef is something very powerful. Now I want you to go to Lamentations chapter 3. And this is going to seem a little bit odd, but I said that to myself. Lamentations. Sometimes it's hard to find Lamentations. Because we hadn't been there in a while. Lamentations chapter 3. Now we have a writer of Lamentations, a fellow by the name of Jeremiah. Now I'm going to tell you, Jeremiah's life was rough. He had a lot of stuff happening in his life. He was the prophet Jeremiah. Nobody liked Jeremiah but God. The only friend Jeremiah had was God. You talk about a rough life. Well, he tells us a little bit about it. And it's titled, Great is Your Faithfulness. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 1. I am the man who has seen afflictions by the rod of his wrath. I want you to really dive in this with me. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not light. I want you to see the similarities of yourself in Lamentations 3 and how God opens up our understanding. You pray and say, God, I don't know. If you give me wisdom, if you open up my mind to see your word, if you'll guide me through it, lead me to the verse in the chapter, God, if you don't tell me, I won't know. But if I'm trusting you, God, that you'll open up my understanding. Give me eyes to see it. Give me ears to hear it. And a heart to know it. You can't preach unless you've heard it. You're preaching what you've heard. And sometimes the set-apart spirit comes in an instant. And he preaches the message to you so you can hear it. And if you don't receive it, how can you then transfer it into somebody else's life? It can't be done. You want to get up here and be responsible to be able to transfer into somebody else's life what the set-apart spirit has revealed to you, and you have to walk in it. We don't just preach it. We have to be doers of the same word. Forget what's behind us. It was so painful, you just don't know. How many times are you going to tell the story? And I'm not trying to be insensitive here. I'm trying to tell you that we have come to a place where we're either going to forget and let God do what he's going to do, or we're going to hold on to it all of our life and never be free from it. Therefore, never being able, we know the assignment, but we will never be able to walk it out fully because we're weighted down. Indeed, he has turned back. He has turned his hand against me all the day. That's telling Jeremiah there were days that he felt the hand of God was turned against him. Can you imagine how awful that must feel? Some of you don't like to feel that feeling for an hour. You know, you're going along and you know you're not supposed to do something, you do it anyway, and all of a sudden you feel that. Your stomach just feels like it's in a knot, and you feel terrible. And you want to feel, you got to feel, oh God, I'm sorry. I can't believe I said what I said. I hurt somebody. I asked you to forgive. You're trying to get rid of it because you hate that feeling. Jeremiah felt this for days. Felt forsaken. Yeshua felt forsaken. Yourself felt forsaken for days. Days. Felt this away. He has worn out my flesh and my skin. He has broken my bones. He has piled up against me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. This is the difficulty that he's faced with, suffering. And some of you may be able to relate to this, some of these things because of your situations, whatever it may be. He has made me dwell in a dark place like the dead of old. He has hedged me in, and I do not go out. He has made my chains heavy. Made my chains heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayers. How terrible is that when you don't even feel like your prayers are being heard? Shut out my prayers. He has blocked my ways with huge stone and has made my path crooked. He is to me like a bear lying in wait, a lion in hiding. At any moment, the bear snatches you. At any moment, the lion devours you. That feeling must be terrible, to feel like at any moment, life is over for you. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has laid me waste. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for the arrow. You ever felt like you were the target? Maybe you're working on a job and all of a sudden everybody on the job turns against you, even the boss, and you feel like, well, man, they're all against me. And that bugs you still today. You got to forget that. He didn't just save you from your sins. He saved you from all the stuff that you won't forget. Remember, Yosef's problem now is forgetting. So now God's going to deal with him about this forgiving. And so he has this son, and he's holding his firstborn son. And who would have thought? Yosef, put in a pit, sold as a slave. Now he's a slave in Potiphar's house, put in prison. Now he's holding his own firstborn son. And so what spews out of him is by the set-apart spirit. I name him Manasseh. I name him, causes me to forget. Finally, in his life, that part was closed, and now he's ready to move on to the next, because he's going to have another son. And he has another son, Ephraim, which is not just one fruitful, but multiplied in fruit. And we know eventually Ephraim would be named as the head of the northern tribes of Israel. The one that would bring the two would come together. He'd bring the two sticks. They were separated, and he would bring Yehuda and Ephraim together as one stick in his hand. You talk about God ironing it out for yourself. But he's not ready for Ephraim if he don't get settled with Manasseh. He has to get settled with that first. Till he does that, it's an issue. He can never walk out this assignment to its full extent until he settles this issue. Nor could you, nor could I. We never walk out fully the assignment till we settle the issues. And we all came with our issues today. Let's not kid ourselves. Some there's been something that we still, it's been in our past for a long time. Deep down, we haven't told anybody. Maybe you hadn't told anybody, but God knew about it before you got here. You don't have to tell nobody. God knew about it. He saw the tears when nobody was around. He saw the deep hurt and the pain that you suffered. He saw all of that. And he said, I'm here to fix it today for you. I'm here to cause you to forget. I'm here to turn the chapter. Turn the page. It's time to move on from that. And that's what he's here for. Can you see the beauty in one little thing? How God, inside of his word. Not, so I read the word of God. Okay, did you ever look inside the word of God? Inside of his word, he leaves these beautiful moments for us to take on the task of that we're really dealing with in life today. That's the wonders of God. That's the mysteries of God that's being revealed in these last days to those who will be impatient with him and allow themselves to be brought into this realm with God by his set-apart spirit. You are the one that God is looking for today. And so he says, he's used me as a target for the arrows. He made the arrows of his quiver pierce my kidney. I have been a mockery to all my people. They're mocking songs all the day. He has filled me with bitterness and has drenched me with wormwood. Let me see that. He's filled me with bitterness and drenched me with wormwood. So we see these wonderful unfoldings happening. He has broken my teeth with gravel. He has covered me with ashes. Verse 17, and you have removed my being far from peace. I have forgotten goodness. The word forgotten is the same word that we're dealing with. It's not a different word, same word. And so that's what led me to Lamentations 3, to read it all. One thing, you know, God never leaves me to one verse. Right. I want to read it in its context. I want to see what is happening here
so I can understand
exactly what is happening here in Lamentations. Because you have removed me. You have removed my being far from peace. And I have forgotten goodness. I don't even know what it's like to feel relief because this thing's been weighing me down so much. He's not here just to save you from your sins. He's here to give you relief from your past. If your past is still bothering you, he wants to cause you to forget today. You know, we talk about our past, and we know it was ugly. We all had an ugly past. But it's either going to be the thing that's dragging you down, and you're going to step into what God wants to do to lead you into that assignment, or it's going to be forever before you, and you're going to have difficulty with it for the rest of your life. Which one do you want? If he's able to wash your sins away, is he not able to remove the things that trouble you from your past? Of course he is. He's able. But notice what the prophet's saying here. He said, it's been so long, I have forgotten goodness. And that's why people, this is why people quit going to church. They're going good, and all of a sudden, the enemy starts to pull these strings of their past. And before you know it, they're missing one service, and they're missing two services, and then before they miss the whole week, you don't see them. And it just happens that way. And before you know it, they're back struggling because they wouldn't forget and put things behind them so we can move on to something fresh. And this is what the prophet said. He said, I've forgotten what goodness is like. And I said, my strength and my expectancies have perished from Jehovah. Remember my afflictions and my anguish and the wormwood and the gall. Your being indeed remembers and bows down upon me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I wait. The loving commitment of Jehovah. Now he's about to get in. He's about to tune into something. The loving commitment of Jehovah. For we have not been consumed, for his compassions have not ended. We have not been consumed, and his compassion has not ended. I know it's hard for you. I know it's difficult to you, but we have not been consumed, and his compassion is not ended. He's still working. He's still on the job. He's letting yourself know. He said, listen, I know deep down inside you're a hurt young man, and I know all the gold and the chains, it's not really doing anything for that hurt. But here I'm about to give you something to do something for that hurt. He gave him that firstborn, Menashe, and he named him, God causes me to forget. Amen. And it's a cause to forget. Do you have a cause to forget? If you don't recognize your assignment, what's going to cause you to forget? What's going to push you into that? If you don't recognize the God you serve and how wonderful and how loving he is, what's going to cause you to forget? Nothing. There ain't no preaching going to cause you to forget it. There ain't no one service going to fix it for you. You have to look and realize who you are in him. You have to realize that his loving commitment toward you is everlasting. You have to realize his goodness is everlasting. When you realize those things, that's what causes you to forget. You understand that the overwhelming feeling of his presence is what causes you to forget. Is this helping anybody? They are new every morning. How often are they new? This ought to do something for you. If they're new every morning, you know what I'm getting up in the morning doing, huh? I'm waiting. I'm getting my new. If it's new every morning, I'm not going to be forgetting that I have a task. I have something to do. That I got to make sure I'm in the right position because they're new every morning. He's letting us know God is faithful. He's saying he's faithful. There's a refreshing. And so they are new every morning. Great is your trustworthiness. Jehovah is my portion. Is he your portion? Says my being, therefore I wait for him. Jehovah is good. Now listen, Jeremiah is saying all of this. He's still in trouble. He's still in the difficulty. But all of a sudden, he pleads his case. Then he gives all of the wonders of God's faithfulness. He's in it. He's still saying this stuff. You say, you know, it's not as easy to do as you're saying it, Pastor. See, I hear what you think sometimes. But listen, Yirmiyahu is saying, in his difficulty, he's given these accolades and praises to the Most High. And so if we can't praise him when we're in a difficulty, and we only can praise him when we're in the highs, anybody can do that. What makes you a standout? What made yourself a standout? That he got selected and none of the rest of the wise men got selected. He understood this concept. And now God is making sure that we understand the work that was going on behind the scene in Yosef's life by the naming of his firstborn son. We never would have, you would have never saw that. I mean, you're reading general verses and you pass that right up. You'd have never saw the working behind the scene that God was doing. That's why the Hebrew language is so valuable to us, because it's the behind the scenes that you get to peek in even when you weren't there. Other than that, this difficulty is nothing but a debt that you don't know how to pay for. You avoid the issue. Yet Yeshua comes in and he pays it for us. How amazing is that? He paid the debt for us, and then we still attach things to our life that hurt us 10, 12 years ago. Hurt my feelings. Well, how important is your feelings that they've been hurt that long? Oh, you're not willing to give your feelings to him too? You gave your life to him. Why don't you give your feelings to him? People get beside themselves for the littlest things. I was passing on the road the other day, and I waved, and they didn't wave back. Their feelings is right there, just waiting for, hit a bump in the road, the feelings fall off, and now they're upset. They quit going to church. Pastor didn't say hi. I was right there, and he didn't say hi. That type of living is attached to a debt that never got settled. It's always attached to something. It's not just that superficial, silly thing. It's attached to something that's been rooted and built in their life for a long time. And they're trying to make it through this serving God and praising, but they're never going to make it through, because that's the very thing that will drag them down. He said we have to lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us. And if we don't do that, we're in trouble. If you don't forget what's behind you, you're going to be in trouble. It's going to be very difficult for you. Yehovah is good to those waiting for him, and to those, to the beings who seek him. It is good both to wait and to be silent. Boy, if we can only learn that latter part, huh? Wait and silent. Brother Rob touched on this a little bit last night. I said, there he goes. If he says go to Lamentations, I'm going to jump out my seat. Wait and be silent. It's an amazing thing. We all think we're born with it, but let me tell you, that's a learned character. We like to wait and talk. Wait and be loud. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Always projecting an excuse for why we have the character we have. Why I'm acting out the way I'm acting out. You go to the store, and the lady had a bad day, and she takes it out on you at the store. And so you ain't going to take that. And so you snap back. Now every store you go in, you're waiting for the snapback. You go in, you get out the car and say, well, I hope today we don't have a snapback. You already anticipating it. Already anticipating. Go to one restaurant and they don't bring your burger out right. It's just not right. They put mayonnaise. I don't eat mayonnaise. I don't eat mustard. And they got mayonnaise on this. Now every restaurant you go to, I hope they don't put mayonnaise. Still carrying that thing. Hope they don't put mayonnaise. They know I don't like mayonnaise. You never met them people a day in your life. They don't know what you like. But you assume they ought to know. It's an assumption. They ought to know how what I don't eat. But you carry that. So every restaurant you go into, you that's on your mind. You got to get rid of that behavior, because that behavior leads to other behaviors. It leads to bigger issues. And before you know it, somebody that you care about and you love You got crossways with them, and you still hadn't talked to them. Family hadn't talked for years. That makes no sense to me. I don't understand that concept. It all started somewhere small, and it never got dealt with, never been forgotten, and we can't move on. Now, Lamentations is a big chapter, so I'm going to leave it up to you. Everybody that says, I'm going to read Lamentations, the rest of it, Pastor, raise your hand. Read the rest of it. You're going home, you're driving. While you're driving, have the wife read it. Have somebody read it out loud to you. But read the rest of it, because there's so much value in Lamentations. Now, there's a lot of reading there, but I can't finish it today. I just got my five-minute card, and I got about 2 more hours left. Why do we have to forget what's behind us? Because God, Elohim's good purpose. He has a good purpose. So Genesis 51, I have 5 minutes. I'm taking all of them. Genesis 51, 15. Genesis 50, verse 15. Genesis 50, verse 15. And when Yosef's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, what if Yosef hates us and pays us back all the evil which we did him? What's on their mind? What do they still have? All those years. They done been to Mitzrayim. They done been given the favor of Yosef. He showed them all. They've been to all the church service, kept all the Shabbats, been to all the feast days, and they still hadn't forgotten what they did. That's a problem. Do you see how important it is that we understand this? They're still holding on to that. But we're going to find out about Yosef if he ever settled this. And they sent word to Yosef, saying, before your father dies, he commanded, saying, this is what you're to say to Yosef. I beg you, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sins, for they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgressions of the servants of Elohim of your father. And Yosef wept when they spoke to him. You know why he wept? He said, I forgave you when I held Manasseh in my hand. Manasseh was in my hand. I forgave you. When I held my firstborn son, I forgave you. I don't even know what you're talking about. That's why he wept. Yet they still holding on to it. That's how the enemy is. Now, these are Yosef's brothers. They're all part of the tribes that we're all Israel's going to live under. And they're part of the covenant, yet they still hold. Covenant don't fix what you need to forget for you. Covenant just says that you're in it. But until you forget it and move on, you still got it. And let me tell you, he's here to help us today that we can, he wants to cause us to forget so we can be free. Then we can move out and actually fulfill what God's called us to do. That's why Yosef's fulfilling what God called him to do. And his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, see, we are your servants. And Yosef said to them, do not fear. Am I in the place of Elohim? He said, you're begging me to forgive you. I'm not the one you need to beg. You better beg Elohim to forgive you, because your deal was not with me, it was with Elohim. Your issue wasn't with me, it was with Elohim. The one you better be crying out to is Elohim, not me. And now do not fear, I provide for you and your little ones. And so he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. For the rest, my brothers, rejoice in Yehovah. He's telling them, for the rest, rejoice in Yehovah. I'm sorry. I skipped. And his brothers went and fell on their face, and see, we are your servants. And Yosef said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of Elohim? And you intended evil against me. Notice that. But Elohim intended it for good in order to do it as it is this day, to keep a great many people alive. You meant it for evil, but Elohim turned it around for good to keep all of you alive. And now do not fear, I provide for your little ones. And so he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Now, if you want to read Philippians chapter 3, starts with verse 1. That's the Brit Hadishah's reflection when Shaul's letter to the Philippians. It talks about forgetting the things. We have to forget the things that's in front of us. Forget the things that are behind us. Move forward. Don't stay in the position of always remembering these hurts and these pains, these difficulties, because we can never step into it. And so during Midrash, I'll spend some time looking at that with you, if the Lord allows us to. So this is a good spot for us to stop.